Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Shriram Properties Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call. A disclaimer: this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali M, Chairman and Managing Director from Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me immense pleasure to be here with you after a very encouraging year-end, with a sustained turnaround momentum since our listing. As you might have seen, we have finished FY 2023 with a 4.02 million sq ft, with a 25% growth in sales value, as well as higher realization. We had some successful launches and had to push a couple of them to current year. On financials, our revenues have grown 57% compared to last year. Our net profit is at 68 crores, reflects 3.8 times growth from 18 crores in FY 2022. This is extremely encouraging for us and gives us confidence to reach our FY 2024 targets comfortably. With some large cash flows expected to come in, apart from the operating cash flows, our debt levels are likely to come down significantly in the next 12 months' time, which has been one of our key focus areas. I would like to reiterate that there is strong visibility of our earnings over the next 3 years. Nearly 75% of our project revenues coming from volumes which are already sold till FY 2023, and 50% of the DM revenues from our projects launched till FY 2023. Reliability on these earnings is only going to get better and better with our strong performance quarter-on-quarter, for which we are comfortably placed, having built a very strong project pipeline. We have delivered well on our performance as guided to the market since IPO, December 2021, and are confident of sustaining our growth and delivery of value to our stakeholders. I hope you all see financial year 2023 performance as just the initial first step towards stronger outcome in the coming years. With this, I request our CFO, Mr. Gopalakrishnan, to discuss the performance with you all. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have thereafter.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking time off to join this call. I hope you have received a copy of the presentation, which was either emailed to you or it's available on company's website as well as that of stock exchanges. I would prefer to use those presentation and refer those page numbers to be able to drive you to the right conversation. Starting with our review of our performance for FY 2023. Looking at slide 7 of our presentation, which is online, I would like to draw your attention to both operational and financial metrics. Overall, it has been an encouraging year for us. Over the quarters, we have seen sustained growth, improvement across various metrics, the KPIs that we track. If I look at slide 7, from an operational perspective, our sales volumes have reached a new high for Shriram at 4.02 million sq ft for the full year. This is the highest ever sales volume as well as sales value for us. We have reached 18.46 billion or 1,846 crore as the sales value for the full year, which reflects a 25% year-on-year growth for us. Realization growth has been encouraging, 8% higher realization compared to where we started the year, and on top of an 8% growth that we saw during second half of fiscal 2022, which is when the price momentum picked up. Overall, a 16% growth in the portfolio's average realization in the last 18 months is an encouraging positive from the company as well as industry's perspective. Our sales machine has been working well, and it is reflected in the fact that our recent launches have actually delivered well. For the year as a whole, out of all the launches that we did, 7 launches we did last year, out of which 2 of them are towards the end of the year, and therefore I'm looking at 5 launches. I'll explain that in detail in subsequent slides. Overall, our sales rep launch metric has been at around 44%, which is very encouraging. Strong collections, sustained construction momentum, all of these lead us to believe that the foundation is being laid well, and we will continue to have a promising earnings outlook for the next couple of years. From the execution perspective, it's been another record for Shriram. We've handed over 2,000 units and plots during the year, meeting our expectations that we set for ourselves in the beginning of the year. We actually completed 7 projects and moved them from ongoing to completed category, aggregating to about 3.8 million square feet of development area. Consequent to completion of these projects, the registration momentum have picked up. Couple of large projects came for recognition this year, Southern Crest in Bangalore, Grand One in Kolkata. Both came on for registration post to OC, and therefore they were driving the revenues recognized during the year. Our ongoing portfolio is on track. I think we believe, based on the progress that we have seen on the ground, they are well within the Terra timelines in terms of completion and handover. From a BD perspective, we have added about 10 projects during the year, about 8.1 million square feet of development area. Pipeline today has about 51 projects, 53 million square feet of development potential. Please note, it includes 24 million square feet across 26 projects as part of ongoing portfolio. If I take that out, we still have about 30 million square feet of pipeline, of which some of them are still taking more time, and we see about overall live portfolio at about 44 million, both ongoing and upcoming together. I'll explain that again in another slide. The ASK platform, co-investment platform that we set up during the year, was a big progress for a milestone for us. The platform has taken off well. First project in the platform has already been launched, and the second project is under finalization for launch during first half this year. Logos progressing satisfactorily, pushed by a couple of months. So we targeted initially for FY23 conclusion. We believe it will get closed out during FY24. Xander Gateway, which is a very large office complex that we are building for Xander funds. And that project was supposed to drive us, deliver a large cash flow in the form of DM fee. The project is completed. Again, 135 crores of our DM fee roughly. We got about 60 crores already received in April. With all the receipts both after the April as well as the prior period receipts, together 750 million or 75 crore has been received. So the project is completed and is beginning to deliver the fee income that was expected to be delivered. Slide 8 captures exactly the same data points in a graphical form, so I move to slide 9. Our sales at launch trend, as I said a few minutes ago, was very encouraging. We had some challenges or setbacks, if I can call it. We were targeting to launch 11 projects during the year. 9 projects during the year in FY23, out of which 2 projects got postponed to FY24 for certain delays in getting regulatory approvals. One in Chennai and one in Bangalore. They have been deferred and are poised for launch during current quarter. 2 other projects were supposed to launch in Q3, got launched only towards the end of the fiscal. So these 4 projects together had some impact on our volumes, which otherwise could have been much stronger during FY23. From a launch efficiency perspective, as you can see from the table below, all the 5 projects that have been in operation for more than 1 quarter during the fiscal has delivered a meaningful sales rate launch results. Overall, we have delivered about 44% of the projects have been sold in these projects at an aggregate level. And that's an encouraging development. As you are aware, we have historically been trying to stabilize this in the mid-30s levels. because that kind of de-risks these projects, and with the minimal working capital requirement, we'll be able to complete. In that context, the current results of 44% delivery efficiency has been very encouraging for us. Moving to slide 10, about the price trends, markets have been doing well. Underlying demand has been strong. Consolidated industry environment, peer group is actually able to improve the price realizations across. At a portfolio level, we have got our prices up by about 8%. It ranges from 2% to 11-12% for most of our projects. In some cases, about 20% as well. At the portfolio level, 8% growth has to be seen on top of an 8% that we achieved during second half of fiscal 22. That's when the price momentum picked up post-COVID. So 16% growth in pricing all in about 18 months period is a very encouraging development and hopefully addresses the investing community's concern that they had over the last couple of quarters about impact of cost hike that we saw in Q1 and Q2, part of Q2 this in fiscal 23. We believe the cost hikes have now come back and to normal levels. And therefore, these price improvements should help in realizing superior margins on these projects as and when we recognize these revenues. Slide 11 talks about our performance in the quarterly trends. We have seen a gradual improvement in quarterly trends in terms of volumes as well as realization as well as and resultant sales value. We believe the positive trends will continue in the coming quarters as well. Shifting focus on financials, slide 13 and 14. On a financial front, the year has been very good as well, meeting our expectations and what we have been guiding all of you in the past about the potential strong growth post our initial turnaround in FY22. It's a strong earnings growth story, healthy improvement in our performance since IPO or Q3 FY22 when we reached initial turnaround point. Operating leverage is improving. Project execution has been supporting. Along with the rising share of DM, overall financials have actually benefited nicely. Revenue recognition momentum remains strong. Our execution, ongoing execution and handover has helped us in achieving better revenue recognition during this year and should gain further momentum in the coming years. I'll explain that in the subsequent slide. Overall improvement in leverage, financial leverage and cost of debt, which is an encouraging positive for this year. And we believe all these are, as Murali said, is a pointer towards a stronger financial years to come in the coming years. Looking a bit more in detail about the financials for full year to start with, slide 15, you would see the overall revenues have gone up 57% year on year to 8.14 billion rupees. Or 813 crores, if I can say. New projects reached revenue recognition threshold and that helped us. Two projects actually contributed to a large part of this revenue recognition this year. One is Sriram Southern Crest in Bangalore. Second is Sriram Green Grand One in Kolkata. Both these have contributed significantly towards the revenues that we recognized. DM remains a key contributor, delivered about 62 crores of revenue recognition, DM fee recognition during this year. Could have been slightly higher, but for the impact of delay in launches, both two projects from Q3 to Q4 or end of Q4, as well as two projects moved from FY23 to 24. These four projects could have added some more DM fee, but I guess it's a missed opportunity now. Hopefully that will strengthen FY24 earnings further. Nearly 80% of the revenue from operations have come from both Southern Crest and Grand One, as well as ongoing registrations in two other projects as highlighted in slide 16. Operating expenses grew 88%. So I need to explain that two factors here. One, the higher cost of revenue on a year-on-year basis is primarily driven by a low base of FY22. During last year, we recognized income because we launched and sold a plotted development in Bangalore, which is in Whitefield, where the property value is much higher and the land was in Sriram books for a long time. So we had a very high operating margins there. It's called Sriram Whitefield, Sriram Earth Whitefield in Bangalore. This high margin JDA, as well as another high-margin owned property development in Chennai, both together had a higher revenue contribution last year and a low revenue, low cost base. And therefore, year-on-year growth seems very high. But if you look at the actual gross margins realized during the year, which is healthy, the cost of revenue at 453 crores reflect a gross margin of close to 30%, which we believe is a level of sustainable operating gross margin that we can expect in our business. And therefore, it's a more at low base of last year, which is creating the distraction. The second factor for this distraction is the other expense. Out of 99 crore of other expenses, there are certain provisions that we have taken this year in the form of overdue receivables and deposits, as in some of our own JDA projects, mostly in JDA projects. And therefore, the base, this one-off or a non-recurring cost in other expenses have actually contributed towards this as a second factor. These two factors actually drive the year-on-year growth, but fundamentally, the overall margins are still satisfactory, from if you look at from an absolute perspective. EBITDA margins at 22%, EBITDA at 182 crores. We believe the improving operating leverage and cost control efforts are still paying off, and we believe it will gain further momentum, and we remain confident of sustaining the EBITDA in the mid-20s, as we have consistently been guiding you. One big positive improvement in the financials this year was the interest cost. Some of you have been pointing this out consistently in the past interaction. We have managed to complete substantially of our refinancing program. We moved away from large part of NBFC focus to a bank focus. That has helped us in bring down the interest cost at a portfolio level, weighted average cost of debt to 11.8% during the year, compared to 13% and 14% pre-IPO levels. That reduction partly is reflected, captured because it was done during the year, as we have been emphasizing and highlighting it during our quarterly interaction. On a full year basis, interest expense is down 21%. Other finance cost is higher, primarily because we write off the unamortized processing fee from the previous loans as and when we do a refinancing as per the accounting standard. And therefore, the other finance costs are higher, and that's primarily delivering moderation in terms of overall finance costs. Unwinding impact, which is a non-cash charge, is primarily associated with the 4% non-compete fee or royalty that we are supposed to pay to Government of West Bengal for Bengal project, and that's being provided in the balance sheet, and therefore, there's an unwinding effect comes every year. And so the nutshell, overall finance cost is down 11%, but what you need to see is the interest expense, which is a recurring cost, which has come 50% on a YoY basis. Share of profits in JV is a modest number, 2.99 crores, but it reflects a combination of two things. We were able to recognize income in one of our joint venture projects in Chennai, called Shriram Park 63, which is a JV between Shriram Properties and Mitsubishi Corporation of Japan. And this resi project allowed us a gain of 14 crores as an income. However, it's masked by the fact that few of the other JVs are still not reached revenue recognition threshold. They are still in construction mode, and therefore, marketing costs and sales expenses and admin overheads associated with these projects at 50% JV level, Shriram Property recognizes 50% of this cost as a loss, and therefore, the impact got masked, and we were able to show or report only a 3 crore net income from the joint venture. Reflecting all of this, PBT is at 71.6 crores, 119% year-on-year growth, and net profit is at 68% compared to 18 crore earnings that we reported for FY 2022. Reflects a growth of almost 3.8 times or 279%, which is an encouraging number for us, and we believe it's a sign of things to come. We believe the earnings momentum will continue in FY 2024 and over the next couple of years. I'll move to slide 17, which just shows the overall trend in our revenues as well as how the earnings and PBT and PAT have shaped up over the last 3-4 years. And interesting to note that we have now reached annual EPS of about 3.9 rupees per share, which positions that favorably compared to our listed peers. On a 12-month trailing basis, on a past 12-month earnings basis, we are trading at around 17 times past earnings, for significantly lower than some of our peers in the marketplace. And hopefully, we believe the analysts and investor community looks at the overall earnings prospect and are able to reflect that over time in the market capitalization. Looking at our overall balance sheet on slide 18, our ROC is in the 10% range, and we believe that the earnings rising trend will continue. As we have consistently been saying, over the next 24 months, we've always said 2 to 3 years, 24 to 25, we believe we should be able to stabilize the ROC in the mid-teens and EBITDA in the mid-20s. And we believe we are on track, and current year reflects the endorsement of that. At 10%, our ROC compares favorably with some of our peers, listed peers, which is shown in slide 18, which I'm sure all of you are familiar with. We just thought it would be appropriate to draw attention to that fact as well. As you're aware, or most of you are familiar with, the residential real estate or the real estate development is a cash flow business. Therefore, we thought it was important to show how our cash flows have shaped up over the last year or so. Slide 19 talks about our annualized cash flows. For FY23, we realized 115 crores cash from operations unlocked by projects that are getting completed. And our cash flow from financing has been pretty muted. The loan draws and repayment, primarily large part of it reflects the refinancing work that we have done. We have raised new loans through refinancing program to repay the old ones for the purpose of rate reduction. I'll talk about it in a minute. And after paying interest expenses, the overall net cash flow from financing has been very small, 1.4 crores inflows. So overall free cash flow from the company has been at around 116 crore free cash flow, significantly higher than what we have seen over the last couple of years, and it's improved consistently over the quarters. Against that, we made some new project investments, primarily to acquire a project called Suvilas. We acquired a company which had a project that has just been launched, Shriram Palms, Shriram Deep Poem by Shriram, which was erstwhile called as a Palm. This project, as well as our share of investment in a plotted development, which was dropped as the first project in the ASK platform, 500 crore investment platform that we have signed up with ASK. These two had taken a large part of this 136 crore investment that we have made. And therefore, the net free cash flow has been minus 20, which we have used from our cash and cash equivalent. We believe the free cash flow momentum will improve even further, both at the pre-new project investment level as well as post-new project investment level over the next 24 months based on what we have lined up as part of our business plan for FY24, as well as the monetizations that are being thought through in terms of land monetizations. Therefore, we see a very strong cash flow momentum that should help aid a growth engine even stronger going forward. Slide 20 talks about the debt profile. Net debt is about 432 crores as we close the year. Thereafter, we have repaid one loan aggregating about 103 crores. So the June quarter will show even lower net debt for the company. And cost of debt has declined to about 11.9, as I mentioned in the opening remark. Compares very favorably to 12.5 that we witnessed last year. And more importantly, this drop from 13.7 to 11.9 in the last 24 months is despite having a 2.5% rate hike impact affected by most lenders in the market, which basically means effectively about 400 basis point to 500 basis point is the drop in effective cost after taking into account the RBI rate hike. which is an encouraging positive for us. This combination of dropping or a falling net debt as well as falling rate has been the key contributor to the declining interest rate that you saw a few minutes ago. Shifting gears, slide 21 of course talks about some of the accolades that we have won, but more importantly, if I shift gears to what we see as a outlook for 24, without getting too much of financial numbers to be laid on the table at this point of time, we would like to highlight the fact that overall outlook remains very positive. The broad contours of our multi-year growth strategy remains unchanged, and we are confident that the delivery will be meeting what the guidance that we are given to people and giving to people. We are very confident of delivering what on our promises. And now shifting to 23 to give some shape to these expectations. Overall, we continue to expect a 20% growth in our overall KPIs, the volume, value, collection, construction, and earnings. We believe our improving trend in earnings and margins and returns will continue. We remain confident of stabilizing our earnings profile at mid-teens EBITDA levels and shade above 10-11% in terms of PBT margins. And we are confident of, therefore, mid-teens ROC guidance that we have been consistently giving to market. Looking specifically at FY24, markets are looking good. We believe we are standing on a right path. We are firm on our we are standing firm on our growth path, and therefore we are confident of achieving our targets for FY24. We just need to leverage the existing sales and execution machine more efficiently to deliver on our targets that we have set for ourselves. We believe therefore FY24 is a more promising year than 23 for us. 23 itself has been an exceptional or a strong year for us. We believe 24 will be even more promising for us as we see from where we are standing now. Markets are positive. We have a very strong from the launches that we have had recently. And therefore, we believe we should be able to achieve our volume targets as we have shown in slide 23, expecting around 20% growth in sales volume. 26% growth in our sales value at around 2,300 crores of pre-sales or sales value. Our collection should rise strongly to about 6,600 crores, and we target spending about 750 crores for construction to fuel this growth whole entire cycle that we have set for ourselves in terms of collection, construction, and handovers. Slide 24 gives you a more granular look of our targets. We think it's an encouraging outlook to see a CAGR of about 17-18% in our sales volume. We think we will be able to deliver next 3 years a CAGR of about 20% in volume. Sales value CAGR about 23% looking at last 3 years. Collections around 24, construction around in the 40s, 40% plus growth levels. So overall, it's a very strong growth profile that we have set for ourselves as a target. We are confident of delivering this. Slide 25 gives you a little bit of granular approach to our launch profile, because that has been an issue that I highlighted that we had in the last quarter of FY24. But I think things are back in control now with 11 to 12 launches that we have set for ourselves. 7 million square feet of saleable area is targeted to be launched in FY24 over the quarters. And we see, given where these projects are in the approval process or launch preparedness process, we are very confident of realizing these the launch that we have set for ourselves as a target. And we see a good visibility and reliability of this launch timeline planned through the quarters. Nearly 50% of our launch will happen during H1, giving ample time to a well-oiled sales machine now to achieve the sales launch that we have set as a target for ourselves internally. And therefore, we see a comfortable ride over the quarters in FY 2024. We've talked about looking at new markets. We continuously exploring, apart from strengthening our position in our core markets of Bangalore, Chennai, and Kolkata. We are also looking at the new markets that we have talked about in the last couple of quarters to you. Hyderabad has been an interesting market, but haven't really reached a definitive project profile that meets our risk expectation or risk appetite. Simultaneously, we are also looking at markets like Pune, which mimic similar, largely reflect and mimic the demand profile and the customer profile of Bangalore market and Chennai markets. And therefore, that's a market that we, where we see a connect for Shriram DNA there, and we believe we should be able to explore these two markets and at least successfully enter at least one of these markets during the year. So we are bottom line, we have a greater visibility of our launch profile. We have a greater comfort on project preparedness at these in this launch profile. And therefore, we believe supported by strong opening inventory that we have in our existing portfolio, we see a very good comfort in achieving our 20% growth in volumes. I must quickly clarify that we have zero inventory in our completed projects. We have in the ongoing portfolio, nearly 75% of our projects are sold. So the opening inventory comes from the balance 25% of our ongoing projects. Several of them were got launched in second half last year, and therefore there is sufficient headroom for us to continue our what we call is the sustenance sales momentum as well. Shifting to the same outlook on earnings profile, slide 26 gives you the comfort that we derive from. We are very confident of our next few years outlook. We have consistently talked about where we get our earnings visibility. Because of Ind AS 115, we recognize income only on completion and handover of units. So what we sell today comes to us as a revenue only 3 years down the line. And it is due to the same fact that we are having a better visibility on our next couple of years earnings profile based on what we target to complete and hand over. Nearly 70% of projected revenues in FY24 comes from 4 projects that are already in, progressing well. And 80% of FY24 revenues will come from DM projects that are already ongoing. And a 3-year outlook equally has a greater visibility, as I said earlier, based on Ind AS 115. We recognize income only when we hand over, and therefore, based on volumes that have been sold till March 23, 70% of aggregate revenues for the next 3 years will come from these volumes, which are sold already, and completion and handover will be the criteria or a key to recognizing these income over the next 3 years. 55% of our DM fee comes from volumes, projects that have been launched already, and we expect nearly a 3 billion free cash flow for the next 3 years at the enterprise level. So overall, we see a very strong earnings profile and a greater visibility, as you can see from slide 27 as well. Looking beyond 24 and looking at whether we have sufficient inventory or a raw material to sustain our growth momentum over the next couple of years, slide 28 gives you our project pipeline profile. As you know, we talked about a 53 million square feet of pipeline, including 24 million ongoing projects. This is after eliminating the completed projects that we have completed during the year. We completed about 7 projects aggregating to 3.8 million square feet. After adjusting for that, we continue to have an ongoing portfolio which is about 24 million. Of this, about 21 million square feet belongs to Shriram, and the remaining 3 belongs to LO share, which we may sell, but it basically belongs to LO landowners share of these projects. So out of 21 million, we have sold almost 17-18 million square feet already, and that's why I said we have a very comfortable, we have a de-risked ongoing portfolio, and beyond FY23 that we have closed already, we see already another 20 million upcoming, 20 million square feet of potential from about 18 projects which are at various stages of launch preparedness, including projects prepared for FY 2024 launches. On top of this, another 8 million sq ft are projects that have a good certainty but is likely to take more time. So we kind of dividing the portfolio into two parts where projects have a good visibility already. Another 8 million sq ft, what we are looking at as they are probably likely to be deferred for future, which means they may take more time than next year or two because they are at various stages of land acquisition and conversion and approvals. Therefore, a 44 million sq ft of live portfolio and 53 million sq ft of overall portfolio gives us the confidence that we can actually move ahead very quickly and monetize them and sustain growth momentum. Next couple of slides, actually you are familiar with, which talks about how robust our DM growth engine is. Kolkata, how robust the portfolio progress has been. I'll probably address them as part of the Q&A, if that's okay. And with this, I'll summarize saying good corporate, well-governed company, trustworthy, and a very strong brand equity created, proven track record, and being reinforced further with the continuing strong performance with a very strong pipeline and a very strong execution plan. And therefore, we see a strong growth outlook. Earnings delivery track record has been being built nicely, and we believe the stronger growth is yet to come. And hopefully, stakeholders like yourself will take a look at our promising prospects and hopefully will become investors in the coming quarters. With this, I pause and stop, and I'll probably take Q&As along with Murali and my rest of my colleagues in this room. Thank you, and over to you, SGA team.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Chaitanya Deepak Shah from Silverlight Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is regarding slide number 19, which is the cash flow slide. I see the collections have dipped actually this year, and the sales value has gone up by 25%. So just want to understand why the collections have gone down. And my second question regarding the same slide is about the marketing and admin costs. I mean, don't you think that 148 crores marketing and admin costs on a collection base of 580 crores is too high? The number is quite low for most of the other peers if I compare. So your answers on this.
Sure. So I'll address the collection point to start with. So as you see in slide 19, right, the collection is obviously the cash flow statement show only SPL CFS collection. The overall collections are around 1,200 crores, as you rightly pointed out. It's a combination of two things. One is the collection from sustenance sales, right? The projects that have been launched already, projects that are progressing, so milestone-based collections. Those collections have been strong, growing year on year. Where we slowed down or where there is a slowdown, new sales-led collection. And if I just break that down, if I break that down number, 1,000 crore collection out of 1,200 crore is from sustenance sales. And that reflects a growth of almost 24%. And primarily the new sales-led collection has been below what we thought we would achieve due to postponement of a couple of launches that we support from Q3 to Q4 end. Almost the launches happened in March. So that's where we lost almost 500,000 sq ft of sales that we should have got, as well as the collections. and two projects obviously got postponed FY 24. So it's, if I can summarize, it's basically a delay in these four project launches, both within the year as well as to next year, has hit at least 240 crores of collection. Second is also the fact that the project mix also has an impact. When you sell more of plotted, your collection will also be lower year-on-year basis. But despite that, I agree with the fact that it's relatively lower growth or a low stagnant number between the years, and that's primarily because of this launch issue. Marketing admin, our overall, I mean, suppose that currently you are looking at all the costs put together. The marketing cost for us is about 6.5% roughly last year, higher than what we also would have liked it to be. We normally have, historically we have operated around 5.5% has been our targets in the past, and we are working towards reducing it further. But linking it to collection might be a challenging one because the evolution, right? You are evolved. We are, compared to some of our regional peers, we are still evolving. Our volumes are growing on a rising curve. So we are currently booking all the costs, but the revenue base is not there. Collection is just the early stage of collection. So, you know, when you are rising from a volume perspective, when you are on a rising curve, it takes some time to reach the construction momentum to reflect the full cost, because this is a full cost is charged to the P&L straight, right? Whereas both the sales value as the revenue recognition as well as cash flows will take some time to gain momentum. So we think over the next 18-24 months, you will see a more stable sales marketing cost as a percentage of overall performance. But I agree with you that there is a meaningful scope to work on improvement on that ratio, cost ratio.
Right. My logic of comparing it with collections is because you mentioned earlier that it's a real estate is a cash flow business, right? So at the same time, the cash flow should match at some point of time.
It should. It's just a minor aberration will be there when you are on a rising volume curve, because you are launching more and more projects. So the initial stage of outflow will be a lot higher. If I have a portfolio which has a large share of construction milestone link collection as well supporting the same, then it gets moderated. That's what I meant as a stabilization over the next 18-24 months.
Right.
It will be there in the next FY24. You will see a much better ratios, I would imagine.
Right. One more question on the same slide that I have is that the interest expense of around 64 crores, and if I add the financing cash flows, it's around 70 crores still. And, you know, on a net debt base of 440 crores, it still seems to be pretty high. So
yeah.
Just want to understand what is the timeline that we should look at, because it's still coming out to be some 15-16%.
So what you are looking at, net debt is not the right metric to look at interest, gross debt. Our gross debt at the beginning, initial, right, as you would have noticed.
The sheet shows net interest expense, so that is why I took net debt.
No, cash and cash equivalent don't earn anything meaningful these days, right? 2%, 3%
okay.
Kind of return. If I look at the, or I am not disagreeing with your facts. I'm just trying to put it in a different way. The interest is mostly, right, it's all on gross debt, which, as you know, we coming down gradually from 700 crore gross debt to what, 500 crores now. And this year, I think now post April, it has dropped further. We should end the year, we should during this fiscal, we should have a net debt of, a gross debt of about 440 crores and around 450 crores, and net debt of around 250 crores or so is our expectation. So you will see an impact of the actual decline, because the gross debt has been coming down gradually over the quarters as we refinance, as we go down. So this reflects still the mix of old cost and new cost. The current cost, as we exit the year, we are at around 11.9% on a consolidated basis, both SFS, SPL and all the JV debt together. And therefore, that 12% should be the starting point for this year. and therefore I see it meaningfully coming down in FY24 itself. Plus, if you look at out of 106 crores of finance cost in slide 15, 10 crore roughly is other expenses. Out of which I think about, if I'm just asking my colleagues here, unamortized processing fee trade off should be in the about 5 to 6 crore at least. So these are non-recurring costs, right? Because the refinancing program is almost over. We don't have much existing loan that has a refinancing potential. So therefore, I think FY24 will truly reflect on your question of when can we expect a meaningful reduction. I think 24 itself you will see a meaningful reflection of reduced interest rate on the overall outflow.
Right. My second question is regarding the guidance that you provided. I was looking at the investor presentation just 2 quarters back, and the guidance for, I understand, you know, this year a few launches got delayed to the next year, so that's okay. But the guidance for FY24, two quarters back was around 5.5 million square feet. That seems to be trimmed down to 4.8 million square feet. That's almost 10 to 12% below what you had guided just 2 quarters ago. So what is the reason? And the reason I'm asking this is because, you know, since you also mentioned about the stock price, has, you know, underperformed the reality index by around 40% since you did the IPO. So, I mean, just, it seems like there's some disconnect there. So, I just want to understand why this guidance has been cut and what is the disconnect that is happening?
Yeah. So, I as you know, we talked about 4.25 to 4.5 million square feet for this year, having burnt our finger once, right? We want to ensure that at least FY24, we guide people to a more conservative number. We're still working towards a number which is meaningful, but I think it's a high confidence number that we wanted to put it on the table instead of trying to, for the purpose of maintaining the guidance and then again, you know, trying to explain over the quarters to say, will it be 5.5 or not? So this 4.8, therefore we thought it would be appropriate to take a hard look at the number and say, what is a high confidence number? And so that we don't land with what we unfortunately landed on FY23. Well, overall performance has been good, as you have seen that, right? The volume growth is where we lost a little bit in FY23. And we want to avoid recurrence of the disappointment for people.
Overall, market sentiments are good and demand is good, particularly for our projects, mid-market housing and affordable housing. And we are confident of achieving much bigger growth. But as you all know, that regulatory challenges and a lot of state-related subjects, so there could be some delays on approval trend. Hence, we wanted to be conservative. Otherwise, overall, next 2-3 years time, the growth looks very, very stable and very positive. And as you know that we have got a good pipeline of projects, which we should be able to deliver good numbers. With respect to the capital market question, so again, I mean, since listing, we have been producing results quarter on quarter. Very, very positive encouragement for our own self. When we look at the mirror, we feel very proud about what has been done to all the to the company and the stakeholders. So hope capital market will start rewarding the performance.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chaitanya. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Our next question is from the line of Dhananjay Kumar Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
So before you go ahead with your question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Mr. Mishra, you can go ahead.
Yeah. So we have given a guidance of launches of about 7 million square feet, and And I assume that we also mentioned that 50% will be done in H1. And then again, the fact that the two of the projects deferred in Q1 FY24. So, I mean, if I ask for next quarter or Q1 and Q2, what kind of volume number, sales volume number, or pre-sales value you are looking? If you can, of course, you have given guidance of on full-year basis. So, but I think because of this deferment and then 50% we are launching in the first half itself, and normally we do about 40% sales. What kind of numbers you are looking in Q1 and Q2?
So I would address this in two ways. One is, yes, there is a seasonality to it, right? We won't be able to break that market seasonality. So we will continue to have second half being stronger than first half as in the past. Overall, we will definitely be meeting our run rate that we have been trying to deliver for the last couple of quarters, over the last several quarters. So I would expect the 1 million run rate would continue. Q1 will be stronger than last year's Q1 is what all I can say. Very difficult to break this down by quarter because launches, some of the launches are also still waiting for RERA and other approvals. So the timeline actually, when you launch during the quarter will determine how much volume. All I can say is we are targeting to have three launches five launches in the first 6 months. Out already in a very good shape. So they will take off during this quarter. So Q1 will have the launches in Chennai and as well as one in Bangalore. Those things will take off. Difficult to come to crystallize into giving a quarter-wise guidance, but I would say we will definitely have this average run rate maintained, and seasonality will continue even in FY24.
And just a follow-up on first question, and what kind of investment we are looking for to put the this business development? We have done about 10 projects, new projects, and so to put them on launch stage, what kind of investment we need, if you can, and how you are going to fund?
Acquisition-related costs are all already done, right? These new launches don't need that large capital for securing these projects. Those are not there. The operating costs will be incurred as we go through the launches, both from a launch expenses perspective and advertising, marketing, all of that. So there are no big capital. For the purpose of new business acquisition, yes, there will be capital investment during the year. But these projects, I think, we are done with the capital outflow basis for the FY24 launch-related, maybe barring one project that I can see in front of me as a list. But remaining projects have all been secured already, and therefore, there is no capital investment for current year launches other than operating investment.
And my second question,
capital investment that I talked about in my presentation from a free cash flow slide when I discussed, this will be towards further accelerating our business development pipeline is where we might make new commitments and new investments.
So 130 crore investment we have done this year for new, this number will be much lower for FY24, right?
It depends. The number will be absolute, in a relative term, number will be lower because the free cash flow coming in will be lots greater. And therefore, we see a cash and cash equivalent being much higher than where we are currently. We currently ended the year with about 110 crores of cash and cash equivalent. We would be probably ending upwards of 200 crores in the coming financial year. The investment, I would imagine the current investment that we made were for towards the two or three projects that we did acquire. Rest are all JD advances, and therefore they're not very large. Depends on the project mix. If you get more of a JD and DM, then the actual outflow might be a lot lesser. So that's why I'm not able to crystallize the number. We have a plan number for ourselves, but that would be somewhat similar to what we have currently here. I would like to stay away from actual acquisition cost investment that we might be making because it depends on the mix of project that we might get in the BD.
Okay. And the last question.
We are sure that our free cash flow will be greater than what we saw in FY23, both at the pre-investment level and the post-investment level.
And last question with respect to this new investors coming in that took 15% new mid developers. So what was the thought process? I mean, can you comment on that and whether they found any synergy or we are finding any synergy to work with them in some project or something? I mean, what was the thought process overall? You can give some color on that.
Naturally, there is a lot of synergy. We could sense that. So they have bought from Allseas Capital and Starwood Capital, and they have a large presence in particularly on PropTech field. We find, as you know, technology is going to play a very, very major role in shaping up the real estate growth, what is happening. So we find that there could be a lot of synergy between both of us on we being a large player on the real estate development side, and they being having strong foothold on the technology front. We see a great potential to create lots of value to the enterprise through the collaboration.
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question is, I just wanted to get a sense, in your reported financials, you report very large other income, about 53 crores on a consolidated basis in this particular quarter, against a cash balance which is averaging about 120-130 crores. I just wanted to get a breakdown of this other income. What exactly is this?
Yeah. So as we discussed in Q3, we actually monetized one of our projects to ASK Platform. And there are certain investments associated with that. And there's a fair value change to the extent of 20-odd crores. And
what else is there in that line item?
Other than that, other income would have two more divestment of our monetization development rights in one another project. These two together, technically, they should have been an operating income because that's our business, whether we sell retail or wholesale. And unfortunately, accounting standard forces us to put it as another income. So that monetization value itself is about 40-odd crores out of other income. It should have technically been other operating income. That's a disconnect that I think we explained it in Q3.
No, I'm really, really sorry. So it's about 53 crores. You said 20 crores for the ASK Platform, 40 crores for sale of development rights. That's 60 crores already.
Yeah. The rest would be all the interest income and other routine income.
No, I'm saying 40 plus 20 is actually more than the income that you have reported. Can you just give me a breakdown of the 53 crores? 20 crores, you said ASK. What else is there in this?
Yeah, we'll give it to you. Can we connect offline? Maybe SGA, you can.
Sure. Not an issue. Just one sort of small point. You have about 24 million sq ft of ongoing projects. But when I looked at your presentation, over the next 3 years, you're looking to deliver about 10-11 million sq ft. That's a little bit of a disconnect. I mean, in what sort of time period are you looking to sort of deliver the entire 24 million sq ft ongoing projects?
The ongoing projects will get delivered in about 3+ years.
Yeah. But in the presentation, it sort of says that FY23-25, okay, that's okay. So 1 year is already gone that way. Understood. Not an issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Siddharth Oberoi from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Basically, on page 27 of the investor presentation, it's mentioned that you've handed over 2,000 units in FY23, and you're likely to hand over 3,000 units in FY24. So are we to assume that the revenues would be about 50% higher in FY 2024?
Yes. The growth would be there. It's not a specific number. Our overall revenue growth will be, yeah, will be stronger as... I mean, I'm just resisting myself from putting a FY 2024 financial number on table, but yes, the growth will be somewhat similar to what you're expecting.
Okay. And, you know, generally, what is the profit margins, net profit margins that the company works on an average? Because, even in the last 5 years, the cumulative revenue that you've reported is 2,900 crore. And on that, there's a loss of 31 crore cumulatively. Last 4 years as well, last 3 years, cumulative revenues is 1,680 crore with a profit of 16 crore, less than 1% net margins. So is it that these revenues that have come on the books, the profits of that would now accrue in FY 2024 and 2025?
No. So historical, I think, there's a little bit of history I need to take you back. If you have looked at the prospectus or IPO documents, you would realize. Historically, we had certain legacy issues due to which the reported earnings would have been a lot less, because we had a, what is called as a deemed interest burden. From the Ind AS days onwards, we've been carrying that in our shoulder. And where all the private equity investment got treated as a debt as per Ind AS because of threshold concept, which was in the shareholder agreements. So all of this unamortized, those burdens and the residual units, which were unrecognized for revenue, were all loaded as these deemed interest burden got loaded. So every time when you recognize income, you would have recognized those burden, non-cash charge as well. So therefore, the EBITDA margins were a lot lower. I think there's a full page describing this whole problem in the prospectus, and I'm happy to walk you through on a call at a convenient time to you as, and us. So therefore, that is one part of it. Second part was, historically, we had certain problems in some of the legacy projects when they came up for recognition, right? Those projects had certain problems in terms of cost as well as timeline. So therefore, the earnings profile of those, some of those old projects have really hurt us during the last two, 3 years.
So, you know, so how much of this legacy is still pending?
I think we have said this in the earlier call. The legacies are completed now, right? FY 2020 is when all of the old burdens disappeared, except for a small burden still outstanding in Kolkata. I think about 80-odd crore on a 30 million sq ft of income to be recognized. So it will be about 20-30 rupees per sq ft will be accumulated interest burden still there. Other than that, the legacy is over. That's where, you know, Shriram has actually reset itself a couple of years ago. We needed to see how the new pipeline profile looks like. So current, that is what is going to be the reflection of our earnings in current years, is 2023, 2024, 2025. All these are newer projects that are getting recognized. We currently operate with a broad metric that if at the project level, it needs to make at least a mid-20 EBITDA margin, and at least a 10-11% PBT margin is what we think we should be able to sustain this business model, given the portfolio mix that we have, and that's what we have been trying to guide people.
Okay, because even in the last 2 years, after your legacy was, you know, kind of passed behind, the total revenues were 1,246, and with a PAT of 84, again, it's a 6% net margins. So, but what you're saying now is in the future, what is the PAT margins or PBT you can guide, PBT margins?
So 10-11% PBT margin is a very reasonable, sustainable margin in this resi business, and you would see that somewhat similar trend in other listed players as well in the resi, pure resi players.
Okay. So basically, if you take a full tax, it's like about 8% PAT margins.
It could be slightly higher than that.
Okay, higher than that. Okay. So, and most of this now would start to accrue in FY 2024 and 2025. Is that correct?
24, 25, 26. Yeah, 3 years would be a reflection of what we have sold already, the recent portfolios that we have sold. We have sold about 13-14 million square feet in the last 3 years. That's where the whole Shriram, as we call it, Shriram 2.0, the whole new version of Shriram Properties came in only in the last 3-4 years, is where the volumes have really ramped up. And the economies of scale has kicked in only now. So that's what is going to drive this over the next 3 years. And we think, therefore, these next 3 years would be a monetization of or recognition of income from these sold units. That's how we think 3 million square feet annualized would be an average year to year. Obviously, it will be very different. It will be moving up and down. But on an average, 3-3.5 million square feet is a volume that we should be delivering, and therefore income recognition can happen on those enlarged volumes. This year was, I think, FY23 income recognition. The total income recognition volume is about 2.4 million square feet.
Right.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. O'Brien, may we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions? Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just 2-3 quick questions. What would be the value to be what is the value to be launched in FY24?
FY24, we are looking at launching close to about 13 million square feet, out of which about new supply will be about 5.8 million square feet. So that.
Okay, and what's the size of land bank that we have in terms of value?
We don't have any land bank. As you know, it's a satellite company. We have only one land parcel in Calcutta. Rest all either on a joint development or on DM or joint venture. So that's the portfolio what we have. That's also an advantage for us being asset-like company.
So in the opening speech, we were talking about some land monetization. Is this the same land?
In Calcutta, we have one land parcel, which we have been we've been working on monetizing that. So that has got some good breakthrough, and we'll make some progress this year and get some money out of it.
Okay, so and just the last one, what is the
only other land bank that we have is the retail mall land, which is approved as part of our RESI complex, which is a joint venture between Shriram and Mitsubishi Corporation. And that's another one which we might monetize. We talked about it in the past as well. So there are only two land that are available. The rest is all project acquisition. We make, convert, launch the project, sell, and monetize, and move on.
What's the value of the land of the that mall bank, mall land?
No, value is very difficult to discuss in a forum like this.
Okay, no issues.
On area wise, if you look at Bengal, has beyond the 10 million square feet that we have set for ourselves as a development, we have close to 200 acres of remaining area that can be monetized. Part of that is being targeted for monetization under the low-cost deal. In Chennai, it's a land which is capable of building into less than 500,000 square feet of mall area. So, as you would appreciate, it will be difficult to discuss the value of those properties on a call.
Okay, understood. And just the last one, what's the unsold value of from the completed and ongoing projects?
So we have no completed project inventory, only ongoing project. The completed project inventory is zero out of 10,000 units that we have completed, so 11,000 units that we have completed so far. From an ongoing portfolio, the total unsold area is about 7 million square feet is the opening inventory that we have, including the project that have been launched late last year.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank all the participants and having listened to it, and As I said earlier, we are looking at a very, very progressive growth for the next 3 years' time. Last 3 years have been really a good time for us. We have an average of about 3.5 million square foot plus pre-sales last 3 years, and this momentum to continue further. Next 3 years, we should be able to achieve average sales volume of 5 million square feet in the next 3 years' time. And as you have seen, revenue recognition of the project which has sold, which will take place in FY24-25, we expect to make a good profitability in the next 3 years' time. So overall macro situation is very, very good in the country. Country is making good progress across all regions. And housing is one major industry which is doing phenomenally well, particularly middle-income housing. And the growing urbanization and the demand, growing demand for the mid-market housing is just continuing further. On the other hand, the consolidation in the industry is helping large corporate developers like us to capitalize this growth. So we are looking forward to a great journey ahead. And thank you all for your great support in holding hands in this growth journey. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shriram Properties Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.